I'm going to be looking at a verse that I have used in the not-so-recent past, matter of fact, last fall. But I think this is where the Lord would have us to go tonight. Luke chapter number 6, and I'm just interested in a verse or two there in Luke chapter number 6. Now, when I have preached this in the past, I've preached this in missions conferences, I've preached it in a variety of different settings, but the emphasis that I've always emphasized, the portion of this that I've always emphasized is give. Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. And that's always been my emphasis, give. Well, today I want to look at a little different emphasis. I want to look at being given unto you. And so I want to try to answer the question, why has the Lord entrusted us with so much? Why has the Lord entrusted us with so very, very much? Let's stand together as I read the verse. The Bible says in the back in the book, actually I'm going to read, look, go back in verse 36. So the Bible says, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. We're almost looking at something similar to the Beatitudes. The Christ said in verse 37, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and it shall be forgiven. And then he says in verse 38, give, and it shall be given. Do you see the parallel? Do you see what's going on here? Now, the Old Testament, it was eye for eye and tooth for tooth, burning for burning, stripe for stripe. But under the dispensation of grace, the Lord said, just do just the opposite. He said, be merciful, as God was merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and it shall be forgiven you. Give, and look at this phrase, and it shall be given you. So I want to go ahead and give you my whole thought in this. I think the reason that God has given so much in this year's Share-a-thon, and God blessed in so many ways this past Share-a-thon, is directly proportionate to what this congregation has given in the past 12 months. We've talked about it before. You sow buses, you reap buses. You sow cabins, you reap cabins. I mean, you know, you reap what you sow, but Stennett used to say, you reap more than you sow. And I could truly say, thank God, we have reaped more than we have sown. No doubt about it. And to Him be glory. And so let's bow our heads together. Father, help us now rightly divide the word of truth. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. So I want to spend our time in the first portion of this, in this thought, down through verse number 38, and I want to introduce what I would call an unorthodox protocol. Now, if you know what protocols are what you do. If this happens, this is what you do. If this happens, this is what you do. If this happens, this is what you do. I mean, we had a near emergency today. It was not an emergency, but it was close to it. We almost went on a code yellow today because we were out of Diet Mountain Dew. And I'm sorry to say that in our emergency protocols, it does not mention being out of Diet Mountain Dew, but I can tell you that I was almost in a panic and I was this close to dialing 911, okay? I was so close. I was getting shaky, all right? And I told RR, I said, I'm not saying panic, but you might want to put the yellow cup up, okay? We're not on an emergency yet, but this is serious, all right? We've got to, this is serious. I came back an hour later, and there the refrigerator was stocked full. So we went back to a code green, hallelujah. Wonderful. But there are protocols as to what you do and how you do them. And it's true in medicine. You are taught strict protocols in medicine. If this happens, you do this, this, and this. You're taught it in pilot training. If this happens, you do this, this, and this. You're taught it in fire and rescue. If this happens, you do this, this, and this. This is what you do, and this is how you do it. You're taught it in law enforcement. You're taught it in all the different areas of expertise that our congregation experiences. You know what I'm talking about when I talk about protocols. This is what you do. This is when you do it, and this is how you do it. You do this till this no longer works, and then your protocol is you switch and do this instead. And now you do this, and this, and this. And that's what they're taught. Did you know that firemen are taught, if they get smoked in and get to where they can't see, how to get out? Did you know that the hose is their lifeline? Did you know that on hose couplings, the fittings go a certain direction? And they're taught to feel of the fitting, to get a hold of the hose and go to the first fitting. And by feeling the fitting, they can find out if they're going toward the nozzle or if they're going toward the engine based on how it feels. Yeah. Smooth, bump, bump to the pump. Smooth, bump, bump to the pump. That's the phrase they use. And you're coming in for a landing in an airplane, and you're coming in on a visual landing, and you've got all white lights. If it's all white, you're good. But if you've got lights and you see red, as long as the red are over white, that means that you're a little high, but you're okay. But if you get white over red, you know what that means? That means you're way too low. And you know what how you memorize it? Red over white, you're all right. White over red, you're dead. You are under glide path. You're coming in low, and you're fixing to hit something because you're below glide path because of what's where the lights are. So those are the type things that we're taught. Those are the type things that we learn. Well, I want you to understand that the protocols for the New Testament, the Lord Jesus, he made us understand some things when he laid out, be merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and it shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given. And we're going to focus on this last one tonight. Give, and it shall be given. Now, I want to start with the thought of the beginning. So the beginning is not get and give. The beginning is backwards, just like these other things are. The beginning is contrary to popular thought. Well, if I win $1 million, then I'll give some money. That's not what the New Testament teaches. That's not New Testament giving. New Testament giving is you give and then you get. You give, and then you get. And you see, a lot of people think that giving is losing. But the New Testament teaches that giving is not losing at all. Giving is gaining. And when we get that in our heads, giving is gaining. I'll never forget the man who was facing bankruptcy and all these other things, and I sat down, and he had almost nothing. And I said to him, I said, boy, as much as you've given away, I hate that you've given all of it away. And he looked at me across the table and he said, preacher, that's all I got left. That's what he gave away. Because they intervened and took everything that he had. By the way, he's doing well now. I knew he would. He went to the top, all the way to the bottom for standing, and went back to the top again. That's just like the Lord I serve, amen? That's exactly like him. And so the beginning, and look what the Bible says, give, and it's conditional, and it shall be given unto you. The story is someplace like the Death Valley, somewhere like that. There was a man who was just about to perish of thirst, and he saw a structure. And he walked and walked and walked and finally got to that structure. And when he walked in, there to his amazement was a glass jug full of water and a corn cob in the top of it. But there was a note. And beside the jug was a pump, an old-fashioned hand pump. And the man, whoever had done this, they had dug a well, they had boarded over it, and they had built a building that you went inside of, but there was a pump inside the house, which was pretty unusual back in those days, but it was to protect it from evaporating, apparently, people from falling in it or whatever. And it's, the note said this, don't drink this water. This water needs to be poured down into the well. There's a hole in the top of the pump. The pump cannot pump dry. You have to first prime the pump. It's not airproof, but it is waterproof. But the gasket, air can escape by it. So you can pump till you're wore out and nothing will happen. However, if you'll take this gallon of water and pour it down in the pump, you'll create a hydraulic seal. The air will come out. You will seal it. Now you'll have water above it, and you'll create a hydraulic vacuum. And if you know anything about what that is, hydraulic vacuum, hydraulics, you can't compress water, nor can you stretch it. I mean, it doesn't. So that's why hydraulics are so powerful, because hydraulics, unlike air, air compresses and it's springy. Fluids don't do that. So when you have a cylinder, you have a sleeve inside the cylinder that touches the walls, and when you pour water in there, it creates an airlock, and when you start pumping that thing, it starts pulling that water up from the bottom, and in about 4 or 5 licks, you're going to have fresh, cold well water. But here's the problem. By faith, you have to believe that note to be true. Because here's, you could drink it, but it's hot, and that's all you'll get is what's in that jug. But it, and the note said, if you'll pour that down the well, you can have all the cold water that your heart desires. This is a good well. With one condition, fill the jug up for the next man. Give, pour the water in the well, and it shall be given unto you. So, giving is gaining. You've got to prime the pump. But that there is a condition in this. So there's the beginning of the whole thought. Then there's the blessing. Look what the Bible says about this whole compounding. Are you familiar with the idea of compounding? For instance, what I'm using the term. So if they say that if you were to put in so much money when you were young and you put in so much a year for every year, that you would have way more than you put in. And why is that? Because that account will have compound interest. So let's just use good math. So you put in $100 this year and you earn 10% interest. Next year, you will have $110. You see what I'm saying? And you'll be drawing interest on $110. The next year, you will have $121. And so you'll draw interest on $121. The next year, I'll have to do my math in my head, you're going to have $133. And you'll draw interest all year on $133. And the interest draws interest on the interest. You see what I'm saying? It compounds, and that's the key principle. I want you to understand the blessing. I want you to understand in this whole thing the compounding of the blessing. God just didn't say, I'll pay you your principal back. If he had stopped and said, give and it shall be given unto you, you'd say, okay, I put a gallon of water in. I'm only going to get a gallon of water back out. But that's not at all the way it works. You put a gallon of water in, you can get all the water you want out, as long as you put the gallon of water in. Well, look what the Bible says, and look at these words. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So, I've got an imaginary pail here. I started to bring one, and I didn't. Because illustrated messages are either really good or really bad, and I don't think I can take a really bad one right now. So, let's say that I've got a gallon here, a gallon container, and you were going to buy something in the store, like oatmeal or cornflakes, something along that line. And so I were to fill up the gallon container level. That would be good measure. Now, if I didn't put quite enough in it, then you could say, okay, that's not full. But as long as I make it level with the top, that would be considered good measure. So that would be to capacity. In other words, it would not be less than capacity. You'd be getting 100% for 100%. If you paid for a gallon, you're going to get a gallon, right? You pay for a gallon, you're going to get a gallon. That's how we're going to do it. But then the Bible says press down. Press down. Now think about that. Press down. It's like when you order two scoops of ice cream. And they've got to kind of compress it to get that second one to stay on there. And what's really fun is if you order a triple. And then they got to try to balance that and they got to try to get that all to stay on there. And they press it down on top of each other and they make it kind of squish down a little bit to get that third one to stay on there. So press down. And so the idea to compress. And can I say, just like to capacity is not less than capacity, to compress is not something that's lightly. It's something that you put some effort into, put something you push on, press down. But then the Bible says, shaken together. So we're buying, you want a gallon of cornflakes, and that's not a good illustration, but all I could think of at the time, something that would compress. So I'm going to take and I'm going to smooth it off, and I got you a gallon, okay? And then I'm going to say, well, I'll tell you what let's do. I'm going to scoop another scoop out, and we're going to push it down a little bit. Okay, that works. That stays in there. But look at this next one. And shake them together. Every time we pour concretes, particularly in footings, it's particularly important in footings, we go and rent a vibrator, a concrete vibrator. And it's an unusual looking thing. It's got a big old hose on it, and it's got a probe looking thing on the end of it. And you crank that thing, whether it's electric, I've seen gasoline was different ones, and you'll have a footing full of concrete. You drop that vibrator in there, and that concrete will go to dancing, and that concrete will just go to sinking. You say, wait a minute, I bought a yard of concrete. Yes, but concrete has entrained air in it. And so when you shake the air out of it and all the bubbles come to the top, you still got the same amount of air, concrete, you just ain't got no air bubbles in it. When you shake something together, most of you know this, if you took and shook those cornflakes, how many have ever opened a bag of cornflakes and it's half full, but it's got a seal on it? You know what it says on the back package? Sold by weight, not by volume. Contents may have settled during shipment. The more you shake it, the more it'll compact. And all those little places that had air, well, eventually it'll shake together. So if I took that bucket of cornflakes and I beat it and shake it, it's going to go down even more. So I'm going to shake it together. I'm going to get the voids out. I've already pressed on it. Now I'm going to shake it, and I'm going to get the air voids out of it. You know why? Because I'm trying to get you the most cornflakes in your gallon container that I can possibly get you. And so good measure, that's the capacity. It's to capacity, not less. Press down, that's to compress. Not lightly, but to put pressure on. To shaken together, that's to condense. So I said, well, why do you not want air in your footers? Well, because of the density. You want more density. There are times you pour with entrained air, and you do it for a variety of reasons. Sometimes they will spec that on concrete jobs, that it has to have a certain percentage of entrained air. But when you're doing footers in particular, you want them to be as strong as you can without many bubbles or pockets in them. And so the Bible says shaken together to condense. And an idea behind that is not loosely, but tightly. And then it gives one more. The Bible says then running over. The idea here of the running over means to cascade. It means that I've put all of the cornflakes in the bucket. I've put all the cornflakes and pushed them down as far as I can push them down. I have put all the cornflakes in your bucket and shook them together as much as I can shake them together. And now I just go to heaping them on the top. And it's rounded up like an ice cream cone. And I hand you your cornflakes. You say, well, I came, I bought a gallon. Yeah, but look how much more you got than a gallon. That's what the scripture talks about. That's the blessing that the Bible says. In other words, the beginning, to give, and it shall be given you. It's backwards, but it's true. The blessing is that compounding, that God will compound your giving. And I believe, I honestly believe, somebody said, what do you think, preacher? I can tell you exactly what I think. I think it's because of how generous this congregation has been over and over and over. And while we don't make a lot of noise about it, and while we don't put ads on the front page of the paper about it, because we're afraid everybody will want it done. But the truth of the matter is, there was a lady whose mobile home burned up. It was too old to have insurance on it. I found her living in a tent. The Lord worked it out for her to have a mobile home, and you know what this group did? We paid to have that thing moved, take it up the mountain, set it up completely, and we give her our camper to live in until she got it fixed. Now, that didn't make the 6 o'clock news, nor did we want it to. But God's got a record. The Bible says the widows and the orphans, you'll never convince me that that's not right. You'll never convince me that's not right. So what I'm saying is, God sees. I mean, just before Share-a-thon, we gave away a Freightliner. Just gave it away. How much did you get for it? We didn't get anything for it. How much did you have in it? Well, I got receipts where we had spent $2,200 on it a year ago. I didn't realize it had been, 2 years ago. I didn't realize we spent that much on it. But we did. We put 2 new batteries in it before we gave it away. You can't drive with bad batteries, so we put 2 new batteries in it. What are you saying, preacher? Again, we didn't put that on the front page. Because everybody be wanting a truck. We don't have trucks for everybody. But by the good grace of God, we gave away a cabin. You gonna show me the one we got back? Let me show you the one we got back. Bigger, better. All the above. All the accessories. Well, how can I explain it? I can't. I can't explain it. Preacher, I can't explain it. I don't understand. And I please understand when I say this. I'm not pinning a blue ribbon on me, not at all. But I got under a burden. When we got the graveyard, I got under a burden. I said, I don't think it's right for there to be African-American slaves buried in the woods outside of the cemetery and nothing being done and people are dumping trash on their graves and things of that nature. I said, I just don't feel right about that, and I just don't feel like we can do that. And long before, we know the rest of the story, long before the rest of the story, I found barbed wire in the leaves, and I rolled up barbed wire and kept it. I located the original fence posts and verified where the line would have been, and those graves were outside the fence. Yesterday they set Matthew's grave marker, his grave monument, his tombstone. I have talked with the manufacturer about making us a monument. And it's going to say on it, dedicated to those outside the fence. And it's going to have a barbed wire fence on the etching in granite or bronze. And it's going to say, slaves were not allowed to be buried inside the fence, so they were buried at the foot of their masters outside the fence. The problem is there was open grange law, meaning that people's cows, horses, and things could go anywhere. So they fenced all the cemeteries. What that meant was that the slave graves could be desecrated by a cow pooping on them, or a horse, or animals scratching on them and turning over the rocks, turning over the tombstones. And by the way, all they had for tombstones was rocks. But every one of those rocks represents a life. It represents a soul for whom Christ died. And I said, this is what I want to say. We attempt to honor in death those who are not honored in life, known only unto God. I took a backpack yesterday and I found some more. And fellas, we're going to have to go over there and do a whole lot more uncovering because the leaves are a foot deep. And we're going to have to, there's more. I've got 8 so far. Some I didn't know even existed. And I've not even been in an area that I'm pretty sure that there's some from years ago. It seems like I remember there being some in this one area. Trees have grown up through the graves and everything else. But my heart was to try to do something to protect those graves, but they were not on our property. I sat down, Miss Horton penned it. I wrote a letter asking the owner, would he consider donating those area that had the graves, or would he consider selling it to us? Just the area that had the graves. He called me. I met with him, run into some complications because of taxes and other things that had happened and 2 deeds for the same property, and it just turned into a real deal. But my goal was to gain that little piece of ground right around the fence. Maybe a couple of graves deep is all I was looking for. But good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, God gave us 22 acres. My plans to expand, to fill in the road and try to expand some, all that's over now because now we can do anything we want to on both sides. You say you believe that, preacher? I do believe that. I absolutely believe that. I believe if we'd wanted to put condominiums on, it wouldn't have been the blessings of God, wouldn't have been on it. But we had the right motive for what we wanted to do. And I believe God honored the motive. I believe that. It's not as sure as I'm standing here, I believe. Not because it was in me. I'm just telling you, I believe God honored that. And I believe that's why it's in our name right now. I'm talking about good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Can somebody say amen to running over? Hallelujah. The word running over is the idea of a waterfall. And I mean just spilling over the top. You can't contain it. I get tickled at Brother Whittemore telling about them turning the pump on. They drilled a well in India, and all the women bought their big old dish pans, big old shiny silver dish pans, brought them up there. They had the dedication, and they dedicated it. John 4:4. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. I believe it's 4:4. Man that drinketh this water I shall give him shall never thirst. They prayed and they turned the power on. When they turned the power on, they had the well brought up and they just had it going straight out into the street. When they turned that on, all this cold, fresh water went to squirting out, and then women come one night drowning in the middle of the street trying to get that water. They scared it because they've been carrying it, muddy water from the river for miles, and they were trying to get them pans under that. They were trying to catch it. They were so tore up. They couldn't believe we're wasting all this good water. What in the world are we doing? What they didn't realize was they didn't have to carry muddy water no more. Hallelujah. And they ain't never got to carry no more muddy water as long as the pump's good. That's it. And they finally throttled it down, turned the spigot on. They just went up and filled them pans full. You ain't never seen happier people in all your life. And if I'm not mistaken, there's a church on that site today because of what that town, what it did for that town. They donated the land that the well was on to build a church. What are you trying to say, preacher? Hallelujah. Running over. Running over. And thank God, running over my imagination, over and above our comprehension. The Bible says, shall men give into your bosom. Notice in your passage, look back at the verse. The Bible says, give, hold up a finger, that's 1. And it shall be given, there it is again, that's 2. Bible says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Look at the third time, shall men give into your bosom. The emphasis of that verse is give, give, give. But notice what it says. If you'll give, the Bible says, the first give is you giving. The second give is being given unto you. And the third one says, men shall give into your bosom. So you give one time and God's going to give back. You see those triplets? Give, give, give. It activates that. When you give, God will give. And if you give, God will give. That's just the way it works. That's the way it works. Don't ask me to repeat that. Yeah, that's the way it works. Men shall give into your bosom. And that's the bosom. Hey, the bosom is what's close to your heart, isn't it? The bosom is where you, hey, you don't carry your young'un, you know, by the back of the nightie that hanging down to the ground. Where do you carry your young'un at? Right up here close. You know what I found out with animals? They'll try to get away from you. They don't want to be caught. They don't want to be catched. They don't like that. But as soon as you can get that animal up against your bosom, especially a baby, if you can get that thing, even though its mama's not a human, if you can get that animal up against your bosom, 9 times out of 10 they'll settle right down. I've learned how to hold them. I've learned if I can get them close up to my heartbeat, go to talking to them in whispers and sweet sonnets and just be whispering, they'll calm right down. I can feel their heartbeat on my hand. And if I get them up on me and they'll just settle down. Yeah, just settle down. Because they're up close to your bosom. That bosom, that's the thing that's closest to a man's heart. And that's God's compensation. It shall men give into your bosom. And notice this. It didn't say that God would give it into your bosom. What did it say would happen? Men would give it into your bosom. Isn't that interesting how that works? You give to the Lord, and God will cause men to give into your bosom, to give back to you. I think that's pretty amazing. That's God's plan. That's how God does it. So there is this unorthodox protocol. Typically, you would say, get and then give. But the Bible says, no, that's backwards. Give in order to get. And that's not the emphasis. That's not what I'm trying to portray tonight. That's not what I'm pushing, is trying to get you to give something. What I want you to understand is that the getting is directly proportionate to your giving. And the reason that we've gotten so much is because you've given so much. You understand that? There is an unorthodox protocol that we do it backwards. Be like a fireman saying, well, the first thing you do is put water on the fire. The second thing you do is hook up the hose. Now, wait a minute. We got to have to hook up the hose if we're going to put water on the fire, right? No. What you need to do is put water on the fire, then hook up the hose. Someone said, a preacher, that's backwards. That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. In the world's mind, it's backwards. It's backwards. Don't make sense. It's crazy. God said, prove me herewith. Try me. See if I'm not telling you the truth. You do what I tell you, and I'll do what I told you I would. But you got to move first. You got to act by faith. So there is this unorthodox protocol, but secondly, there is this underlying principle. Look at this next verse. The Bible says, for with the same measure, let's count the words, measure. There's one, that ye meet. And the word meet is the root word for the word measure. And it's the root word for meter. It is the root word for, the Greek word is metron. And the only reason I tell you that's because you can understand metron and meter, and measure. They're all related. It's all the same idea. We're going to meter a water meter, a power meter. What are you doing? You're measuring how much power. You're measuring how much water. And so with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So what does the Bible say? It says, give, give, give. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Give, and it shall be given unto you. And now it says, did I do it three times? That's not three times, is it? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Shall men give into your bosoms? Give. There it is, three times in verse 38. Now look in this verse. Instead of give, 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 it's measure, measure, measure. So it shall be measured to you again, the Bible says. It shall, with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. There it is, three times. The condition, how did you measure it? Did you give just a little bit? Just barely enough to say, well, that's about full. Huh? I got in a rental car the other day, and the needle showed full. And so I took off, and I hadn't gone 5 miles, and I was down a quarter tank. You know what somebody did? When they returned that car, they took and watched that meter, and they put just enough gas in it to get it to go up to full and quit. It probably would have held a lot more to be really full. But the gas gauge said it was full, and so they stopped. Then when I take off with it, I'm a couple of gallons short, and mine goes to a quarter of a tank just in a few miles. I'm down to a quarter of a tank. They didn't really fill it full. They just filled it to where the gauge said it was full. If you've ever watched that, you can usually put several gallons in one after it's full. But you can't run several gallons out of one after it says it's empty. Somebody tell my wife that, all right? You cannot. Somebody said, what do you do when the light comes on? Drive it three more days. That's typical. I drive it three more days. Yeah, I think I'm about out of gas. You think you're about out of gas. Is the light on? Yeah. How long's the light been on? Let's see what's today. 3 days ago. And you've been driving it 3 days with the light on. Oh, yeah, it's fine. It'll go fine. Yeah, but how am I going to get it to the gas station? I'm going to put chainsaw oil in it to get it to the gas station, you know. I mean, honestly, what am I going to do? And it's always at the time, you know, it's always at the time when you got to go somewhere and you got to go right now. The condition is with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. The other day we were up on the property and there was, I don't know what kind of tree it is. It's a real rough bark tree. I'm not sure. I first thought it was an oak, but it's not a typical oak. So I'm not sure what it is. I don't have no leaves, and so I'm not a good tree person, but bark. It was so big, that tree was so big that I said, let's see if we can reach around it. And I touched fingers with Levi, and he put his arm all the way around that tree. I put my arm all the way around that tree, and it lacked almost 2 feet coming together. So the circumference of that tree, I can span about 6 feet with my hands. Levi can span about 6 feet with his hands. That tree was somewhere in the neighborhood of 14 feet around because it lacked about 2 feet touching. That was the total measurement, the total circumference. All the way around that tree was about 14 feet. The Bible says it shall be measured to you. And look at this key word, again. Whatever it is that you measure and you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Happy day. So let me just quickly make you understand. We don't give to get. That's the health and wealth outfit. We give because it's right. And God turns around and gives and gives and gives again. Never fails. You've never lost by giving. Remember this one phrase. You don't remember nothing else. Giving is gaining. And I thought about some illustrations. Abraham gave Isaac, and then God gave a ram caught in a thicket. Hannah gave a man child, then God gave us Samuel. Solomon gave riches in lieu of wisdom, and God ended up giving both. Elijah staked his life on the fire, then God saved his life by fire. Because the same 400 of prophets of Baal that he killed would have certainly have killed him. He was out on a limb. He was no match for 400. And so his life was out there. And the same is true when a man gives his heart to God, God gives salvation to the heart of man. You give your heart to God, He'll give salvation to the heart of man every time that you do it. So here's a different outline that I come up with. So give and it shall be given unto you. That's the explanation. Good measure, that's the evaluation. Pressed down, that's the exertion. And shaken together, that's the earnestness. Running over, that's the excess. Shall men give into your bosom, that's the effectiveness. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. That's the equity. God said, you'll never lose by giving, but you'll gain. And I just want to say, and I believe, here's what's fun. That principle is true that everybody that gave in Sheraton. And I heard gifts go through that. I know they ain't got it. And I felt kind of bad at the time. But you know what I got to thinking today? The same verses in their Bibles in mine. You know what God's going to do to them? He's going to give, as they've measured. Yeah. He's going to do the same thing. So we got blessed. They're going to get blessed. Oh, yeah. People that they give to are going to get blessed. It just keeps going. And it magnifies itself. Like a ripple, like a drop of rock in a pond. If you're out in a boat and you dropped a rock over the top, that ripple would go and get concentric rings bigger and bigger and bigger until it made to the shore. It will eventually affect that entire surface of the pond. So it is. Boy, when we get obedient to God, boy, we can experience the ripples of God, that ripple effect. We can experience that effect that obeying the Word of God has. And so, can I answer the question tonight? The reason that folks gave was because it had already been given again and again and again. Let's pray together. Let's bow our heads. Father, help us, I ask tonight. Lord, help us to understand the principles of sowing and reaping. Thank you, Lord, that even though we don't reap when we sow, we always reap more than we sow. So, Lord, help us, I pray, to sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh. And help us, Lord, I pray, to trust you with all things in our lives. In Christ's name, amen.